The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Marissa Wexler, MS. Class of molecules may offer opioid alternative for treating pain. A class of molecules called positive allosteric modulators, or PAMs, may be useful in treating pain caused by nerve damage, a common symptom of multiple sclerosis, according to a new study that sheds light on how these molecules work. The international team of researchers behind the study say their findings highlight the potential of these PAMs to serve as a non-opioid alternative for the management of chronic pain. The world is in the grip of a global opioid crisis, and there is an urgent need for non-opioid drugs that are both safe and effective. Arthur Christopoulos, a professor at Monash University in Australia and co-author of the study, said in a press release, "The study, Positive Allosteric Mechanisms of Adenosine A1 Receptor-Mediated Analgesia, was published in Nature. Protein receptors play key roles in governing the behavior of cells in the body. Generally, these receptors sit on the surface of a cell, inactive, until they come in contact with a specific molecule, termed the ligand, for which they are a receptor. Once the receptor binds its ligand, it becomes activated and sends signals into the cell that affects the cell's behavior. A particularly common kind of protein receptor is the G-protein-coupled receptor, or GPCR. When this type of receptor binds to its ligand, it, as its name suggests, sends signals into the cell using an associated protein called a G-protein. In the context of pain, a specific GPCR called the A1 receptor, or A1R, has gained particular interest from researchers. That's because it is well established that activating A1R is antinociceptive, which means that turning on the receptor blocks the activity of the nerve cells responsible for sensing pain. The most common strategy for activating a protein receptor, such as A1R, is to use an agonist, effectively a molecule that mimics the receptor's natural ligand, which in this case is called adenosine. However, A1R agonists have had limited utility because they often also activate other protein receptors, causing unwanted off-target effects. When a ligand binds to a receptor, the ligand attaches to a specific part of the receptor called the binding site. As they mimic ligands, agonists also attach to the binding site. By contrast, positive allosteric modulators increase the activity of a receptor by binding to a place other than the binding site, called the allosteric site. The A1R was the first GPCR for which synthetic small-molecule positive allosteric modulators, or PAMs, were described, the researchers wrote. But they added, despite years of research, the location of allosteric sites on the A1R remains, to our knowledge, unknown. The researchers first tested the analgesic or pain-lessening properties of several PAMs in a rat model of pain caused by nerve damage, or neurotropic pain. The team, led by scientists from Monash University of Pharmaceutical Sciences and the Monash Biomedical Discovery Institute, or BDI, showed that these PAMs could reduce pain, and that a PAM called MIPS-521 was especially effective. A battery of tests, including imaging the molecules with electron microscopes and running computer simulations, were then conducted to understand how MIPS-521 affected the A1R. These studies uncovered the specific location where the PAM attached to A1R. The results also showed that when MIPS-521 was bound to the receptor was bound more tightly to its G-protein, used to send signals into the cell when the receptor is activated. In essence, this suggests that the PAM, makes it easier for A1R to activate when it binds to its ligand. According to the researchers, the study has led to a better understanding of the mechanisms underpinning allosteric drug actions. One of the exciting things we found is that not only were the PAMs able to decrease neuropathic pain with minimal unwanted effects, but they actually increased their level of effectiveness as the pain signals in the spinal cord get stronger, thus highlighting the potential for allosteric medicines that are uniquely sensitive to disease context, said Wendy Imlock, PhD, head of the Pain Mechanisms Lab at BDI and a study co-author. Given what the scientists call a current over-reliance on opioid painkillers, which provide limited relief in patients with chronic pain, particularly neuropathic, the results of this study highlight other potential therapeutic targets for managing pain. Our findings have broad implications for understanding the molecular basis of GPCR allosteric modulation and can facilitate rational, structure-based drug design of improved PAMs at an important therapeutic target, the researchers concluded. The team said their work could lead to the development of non-opioid painkillers. This multidisciplinary study now provides a valuable launchpad for the next stage in our drug discovery pipeline, which will leverage structure-based insights for the design of novel, non-opioid allosteric drugs to successfully treat chronic pain, Christopoulos said.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the Ed Tobias column, MS Wire. I'm sleeping better these days, but why? I had a great night's sleep the other night. I fell asleep quickly and slept straight through the night for nearly 7 hours. When I got up in the morning, I felt refreshed, which is exceedingly rare these days. Plus, it even happened a few more times in the past few weeks, so what changed? I've been sleeping in the same bed with the same blankets and the same wife for years. I haven't made the bedroom any darker. The television is still flickering late into the night, a requirement for my wife. And I wasn't thinking any fewer sleep-robbing thoughts on those nights. So what then? Check the thermostat. Maybe it was the bedroom temperature. My wife likes to have the thermostat set to 72 degrees Fahrenheit, which is too cool for me. But recently, the weather has turned chilly, meaning no need for air conditioning. Instead, the nights were ideal for opening the windows. It was 68 degrees Fahrenheit in the bedroom when I got out of bed on those mornings. Was the lower temperature the reason I slept so well? According to the Sleep Foundation, an organization funded by companies in the sleep industry, the ideal sleeping temperature is 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Our body temperature drops a little at night, and lowering the room temperature may send a signal to our brain that it's time to sleep, the foundation noted on its website. Sleep psychologist Dr. Michelle Drerup agrees, suggesting keeping the bedroom temperature between 60 and 67 degrees Fahrenheit. It should be cool, dark, and quiet to enhance your sleep, she noted in an article on the Cleveland Clinic's website. According to a study by researchers at Japan's Tohoku Fukushi University, being too warm increases wakefulness and decreases slow wave and rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. REM is the deep sleep during which people dream. Sleep issues are a big MS problem. Sleep deprivation is a serious concern for many people with MS. According to the MS Association of America, more than half of us experience some sort of sleep problem. I'm surprised the number isn't higher. Bladder problems can wake us, and restless legs and cramps can prevent us from dozing off. That's certainly been the case with me. I've tried medications to help my bladder and leg problems over the years, which has helped sporadically. But over the past year or two, my trips to the bathroom in the middle of the night have decreased from 2 or 3 to 1 or none on most nights. Much of that I attribute to being treated with Lemtrada or alemtuzumab. I haven't had as much success quieting my restless legs or easing my cramps, but those symptoms also improved after we dropped the bedroom temperature. So we'll keep that room chilly at night and hope my improved sleep will continue. Now, if I could just keep that darn cat from jumping on the bed at 4 a.m., I might be able to sleep even better.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.